Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is about to ask a question, which is the same question that it posed yesterday with regards to Olat Nidvat HaTzibur. They're just going to pose it now with regards to Nisachim, which is Ibailuhu. Nisachim Abayim Bifnei Atzman, Tunim Shira, O Ein Tunim Shira. Nisachim that come by themselves. Now, what we're talking about here is someone who brought Nisachim as a Nidava. What we're talking about here is Nisachim that are associated with Korban HaTzibur. But we know the din, we learned this together in Menachot, that the din with regards to Nisachim is that they do not have to be brought the same day as the Korban HaTzibur. We can bring them even at night, and you can bring them even days later. So if you bring them separately from the Korban, if you bring them along with the Korban, fine. So the Shira with the Korban and the Nisachim, they go together. What's interesting is that yesterday's Gemara, we said that the Shir is Me'akev, according to Rabbi Meir, and the Shir is said over the Nisachim when you bring the Korban. But the Nisachim themselves are not Me'akev. That's what highlights that difference. But over here, where we separated between the Nisachim and the Korban, Korban got its Shira. What's the din, the Gabay the Nisachim? Kevin Damar, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Notan, Minayin Shein Omrim Shira, Lala Yayin, Amrinan. We saw before that Shira is associated with Yayin. So therefore, you're going to say it here. Nisachim is Yayin. Therefore, you're going to say Shira. Odilma. Achila ushtia amrinan, ashtia lochuda lo amrinan. That the shira has to be associated both with eating and drinking. We're talking about obviously in the figurative sense. Means with a korban, as well as with the nesach together. Not when they're independent, not when the shtia is independent. Now Tosafot is sure here that if you bring the nesach at night, which again is permitted, you can bring it during the day and at night, then it's certain that you don't bring shira, because we had that limud yesterday, that it has to be makapara bayom af shira bayom. Clear that if you brought it at night, you're not going to say shira. The question arises, if you bring it during the day, disassociated from the korban. Do you say shira because it's shtia, it's yayin, it's enough? Or is shira really associated with the korban together with the nisachim, not when they're broken apart? So the Gemara's answer is the same answer that we saw before. Tashma, v'yosi omer megalgalin zchut yom zakai. Over there we learned from that the kohanim were singing Shira on Motzei Shabbat, that was Motzei Shvi'it, at the time of the Churban HaBayit. So, Hai Shira, my Vite. Why were they singing Shira? Ilei medolat chova. If they were singing Shira over the Ola, meaning the Ola Tatamid, Mihavo. Remember, we already said, B'Shivasar B'Tamuz B'Tel HaTamid. Tamid was already nullified from the 17th of Tamuz. They ran out of supplies. They were under siege. They no longer had Korbanot. That's one of the five things Shira. The Shivasar B'Tamuz was that there was no Korban Tamid brought after that point in time. Velo Olat Nidava. So now what are you going to suggest? That was yesterday's suggestion. Maybe it'll have to be Olat Nidvat Zibur. Bahatani Rav Mari, Breder of Kana, the Lo Tzricha. That you don't need it. That was the conclusion of yesterday's Gemara. That the comparison between Shlamim and Olah taught us that Ma Shlamim Shekavu Lazman. So too it has to mean Olah Shekavu Lazman. So that means the Nidvat Zibur would not have Shira. So what is this Shira that's associated with here? It says, Elalav de Nisachim. Must be that it was of Nisachim. They were pouring Nisachim, and therefore, they were singing Shira over these Nisachim. Amarovo, Vitemaravashi, Vitisbaro. Doesn't make any sense. Shira de Yomei. The Shir of that day was Lashem Haaretz Umloa. And they were singing, Vayeshev Aleim et Una, Bishira de Arba de Shaba. They were singing the Shir Shoyom of Yom Revi'i. And we have to assume here that the Nisachim that come by themselves, we associate with the Shir of that day, not the Shir of the day that the Korban was brought. If the Korban was brought days before, and then you bring this, you would sing the Shir of that day, not the Shir of the day on which it was associated with the Korban. So the fact that they were singing the Shir of Yom Revi'i on a Sunday doesn't make so much sense. Ella, Ella, bi'almahu dinafaluhu bipumayu. It's just an elegy that fell into their mouth. We have this sort of a Ruach HaKodesh, maybe not even literal. It's a limud, it's an allegorical limud for us about the situation that Hashem's ability to take revenge on the enemies was withheld at that point or stopped by our Chataim, and that's why the Mikdash was destroyed. V'ha'omdim al-duchanam k'tani. Doesn't simply say they were singing, meaning that it's some sort of allegorical. It says literally they were standing on the Dukhan, which is the place where they would sing Shira. You can say Shira even when there's no Korban there. Shira can be sung at any time. So if that's the case, then why not sing it on Nisachim? Whether he does or does not need it, if you can, then why not sing on the Nisachim? Nothing wrong. So it says, Nafik Mimnei Churva. Again, like yesterday's problem, is that it will lead to a problem in the future, which is that people will see that nisachim abayim bifnei etzmam reshut. So they would think, just like nisachim that come alone are reshut, so too nisachim that come with the korban are also a reshut. So since it's optional over here, people come to the conclusion that the shira associated with nisachim is optional. And then in a situation where it's not optional, when the nisachim are brought together with the korban, they'll also think it's optional. Nafik minei churva, which is that the outcome will be something that is disastrous, so therefore we don't want to permit it in these instances so that it doesn't cause problems in other instances. Okay, it's just nafik minei churva. Even according to Reish Lakish, we won't allow you to do it associated with nisachim, or associated with korban nivat tzibur because of the problems that can arise. Yes, you could have said it here just like you'd say it anywhere else, but the chachamim said don't do it in these instances because we don't want any confusion that comes out of it. Now, yesterday we concluded that olat nidvat zibur does not have shira. Over here, it seems that the Gemara has bayud de lo ifshito, question that's not answered. But the answer will be the same, or the outcome will be the same in either case. Either you can't sing shira al nisachim, because it's not permitted or it's not possible, or even if it is possible or permitted, like Reish Lakish, still we won't allow you to do it because nafik mirnei churva. So the answer will be no in either case. So now the Gemara moves back to the Braita that was brought before by Rabbi Yossi about Megalgalin Zechut Yom Zakai V'chuva Yom Chayav. So it's quoted in the Gemara in Ta'anit, which is Berishona B'Motzei Shvi'it Mimishkachala. We said that the first Korban took place Motzei Shabbat Motzei Shvi'it. The question is, can you really come out with a calculation that lands you with Motzei Shvi'it? V'aktiv. Pasuk in Yechezkel says, "B'25 shana legalutenu, b'rosh hashana b'asur lachodesh, b'14 shana achar asher hukta ha'ir." So Yechezkel in Perek Mem has a nevuah. He says that the nevuah is 25 years after he went into galut. Yechezkel goes into galut with galut Yehoyachin, also the same galut that Mordechai went into galut with. We say that in the Megillah, "B'golah asher egla, b'galut Yehoyachin." So he was sent into Galut with Yehoyachin, which transpires 11 years before the Churban. After Yehoyakim is deposed by Nebuchadnezzar, he appoints Yehoyachin to be the replacement king. He's all of 8 years old at the time. He lasts for about 3 months, and they come and lay siege on the city, and he goes out to Babel, he surrenders to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's gone. In that case, there was a Galut that was sent out, a majority of Bnei Israel sent out. At that point, Sidkiyahu takes over. Tzidkiyahu reigns then for 11 years until the Churban Habayit. So now you can put that together. Yechezkel now is standing 14 years after the Churban Habayit. 14 years after the Churban Habayit and 25 years after the Galut. That's the 11 years between Galut Yehoyachin and the Galut of Tzidkiyahu. So that's why you have 25 and 14. He says he's standing on Rosh Hashanah, which is Asur LaChodesh, is the 10th of the month, 10th of the month of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. And the term Rosh Hashanah, truthfully, is not really used, associated with Rosh Hashanah in the Torah or in Tanakh at all. Rosh Hashanah is only associated with Yom HaKippurim, and Sukkot is called B'Tzeit HaShanah. But Rosh Hashanah itself, what we call Rosh Hashanah today, really isn't associated with the term Rosh Hashanah in the Torah. It's only used L'gavei Yom HaKippurim. And as over here, it says, Rosh Hashanah by Yom HaKippurim. Chazal Darshan, how could it be that it was Rosh Hashanah on Yom HaKippurim? That's because there is one time that Yom Kippur looks like Rosh Hashanah. That's it. Ezuhi Shana, Rosh Hashanah be'asur l'chodesh. When does Yom Kippur look like Rosh Hashanah? Avi Omer, Zeh Yovel. That's in the year of the Yovel. The limud is out of the psukim. How do we know we blow shofar? Or the number of tkiot, trot that we have on Rosh Hashanah comes from this hekesh between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, both on Yovel, we blow the shofar. We have machiot, zichronot, and shofarot. And just like we do have that on Rosh Hashanah. Just for the Yovel, it transpires on Yom HaKippurim. Whereas for Rosh Hashanah, it takes place on the first of Tishrei. So the fact that he's saying it's Rosh Hashanah Asur L'Chodesh means that it was a Yovel year. And if you're claiming that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the Motzei Shvi'it, meaning on an eighth year, it was the first of a new cycle, Michad Shavua, Bechad B'Shavua, Tamne. So if the Mikdash is destroyed on Motzei Shvi'it, on the first of a new cycle, from that first of the new cycle till the first of the next new cycle is 8 years, including the year itself that you're in, plus the year, that's 8. That's like when you brit milah, the baby's born in a day and you give a brit milah the same day. That's called 8 days. So you have 8 years. So chamesh esrei havyan. And then you have to add on another 7 years to get to the following kad motzei shvi'it. According to that, it would turn out that Yechezkel is standing 15 years after the korban, because you have the 8 years to get to another motzei shvi'it. Yovel is always motzei shvi'it. So you'll need another 7 years to get to that motzei shvi'it, which would be the Yovel. That's 15 years after the korban. Samaravina, barbaas v'shana, achar shana, shu'ta'ir. He's not saying 14 years, including the year in which it was destroyed. He's saying 14 years after the year that it was destroyed, which is usually, that's the Pashtut, generally. So that the year that it was destroyed in, then there are 14 years until the point of the Yovel, the 50th year, which is the Yovel, and then it was destroyed in the 36th year. That's a year after a Shemitah. The 35th year would be a Shemitah year. The 36th year is destroyed. So 50 minus 36 is 14. And that's what he's saying. He's not saying including the year of the Korban. He's saying excluding the year of the Korban. It's now 14 years later. Ihochi, if that's true, Besrim v'chamesh shana, then why is it the 25th year after Galut Yehoyachin? Esrim v'sheish havyan. That would make it also 26 years later. If you say you don't count the year in which the item takes place, then you would say now, it's 14 years till the year that it was destroyed. There were 11 years before that till the Galut, and the year of the Galut itself, you get to 26. If you have 26, he's saying 25. Damamar, because we have a Memra, which the Gemara is now going to read and be misunderstood, and then it'll rectify it. Galut b'sheva, Galut b'shmona. They were put into Galut in the 7th year and the 8th year. Galut b'yutet, Galut b'yutet. They were put into Galut in the 18th year and the 19th year. Sheva ad tamnei sarei, from the 7th year until the 18th year, chad sarei. That's 11. V'chamesh esrei. And the additional 15 that we were talking about now, between the time of the Chuban until where Yechezkel is standing, esrei v'shid avyo, that gets you to 26. Says Amar l'cha Ravina, lidach minecha. Even if you do that, why is it so good? Michte, galut nami b'teish chasre. They also were put into galut in the 19th year. Mishev, from the 7th ad to chasre, from the 7th year until the 19th year is tarte sari, 12. For arba sari, with the 14 that you did before, it's stream b'shitav, and it comes 26 as well. So why does that help you? Now this is a misunderstanding of the 18, 19, and the 7 and 8. The 7 and the 8 are the same date, and the 18 and 19 are the same date. It's just a question of what they're referencing.
How you count.
Right, where you count from. So we're going to see that, the Gemara's going to explain that in 1 second. But with this misunderstanding, he says, well, even if you go the other way and say it's 14 years, I can still come up with a problem. I'm saying it's 15 years, which because the year of the Korban is not counted. But if I go according to your position, which it's 14 years, including the year of the Korban, when you take 19 minus 7, you get 12. 12 plus 14 is also 26. So what does that help you? Elamai yitachal meimar, levar mishata de galupa. We're not counting the year in which they were put into galut. So the Didi Nama, the Vav Mishat of the Galuba, I'm also going to have to say that they don't count the year in which they put in the goat. Mikomakom, Shishasre, the Ravina, Kasha. That'll still be a problem for Ravina when you go up to the 19, between the 7 and 19. Misavarach, Shlosh Galiot, Abi, what do you think there were three Galiot? Galuba Sheva, the Gibush Yehoyakim. They went into Galut in the 7th year after Yehoyakim was subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar, Shishmoneh the Nebuchadnezzar, which is 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar came to rule. Galut Shmonesre, the Kibush Yoyakin, they went into Galut in the 18th year after Yoyakin was subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar, Shishasre the Nebuchadnezzar, which is the 19th year after Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. So just a little history. Yoyakim is brought to power by Paro Necho. Paro Necho defeats Yoshiahu. Afterwards, he puts into place Yoyachaz, who lasts for also a very short period of time. And then Yoyakim is installed as the king. When Yoyakim is installed as the king, he rules for 3 years before Nebuchadnezzar even comes to power. He rules for 3 years. Then Nebuchadnezzar rises to power in the 4th year of Yoyakim. But he's still, at that point of time, Nebuchadnezzar is only running over the places like Nineveh. Still up in the northeast area, has yet to come to Eretz Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar only comes and conquers Yoyakim in the year after he comes to reign. So it's the 5th year, the beginning of the 5th year of Yoyakim, 4 years after Yoyakim has come to power. 4 years after he's come to power, he is subjugated. Yoyakim then remains a subject of Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years. After that, Yoyakim is Morid. He rebels against Nebuchadnezzar, and for 3 years, the rebellion continues until finally Nebuchadnezzar comes and conquers Yerushalayim after the 3rd year, which is basically the 7th year after being subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar. When he was subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar, he remained that way for 3 years, rebelled for 3 years, that's six. In the seventh year, the Galut happened and they captured Jerusalem. When they captured Jerusalem, they sent many people into Galut, and that's called Galut Yehoyakim Yehoyachin, because they take Yehoyakim, and then he installs Yehoyachin for 3 months, and then he goes into Galut as well. So in that period of time, they are sent into Galut. Now Nebuchadnezzar rose to power a year before he subjugated Yehoyakim. So if the Galut Yehoyachin takes place in the seventh year of Yehoyakim, then it takes place in the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar. We said before that Tzidkiyahu then rules for 11 years. Tzidkiyahu rules for 11 years, and then the Churban HaBayit transpires. That means if they put into Galut Yehoyachin 7 years after Yehoyakim was subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar, then plus 11 is 18. That means the Churban HaBayit was 18 years. We said before that Nebuchadnezzar came to power a year before he conquered Yehoyakim. So if I add then the 8 years to the 11 of Tzidkiyahu, that's 19 years before the Churban. So 7 and 8 refer to the same Galut, and 18 and 19 refer to the same Galut. So 7 and 8 refer to the Galut Yehoyachin, which is 7 years after Yehoyakim is subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar, 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar comes to power. The Churban HaBayit takes place 18 years after Yehoyakim is subjugated to Nebuchadnezzar, which is 19 years from the start of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, you don't reference the 7, doesn't reference the 19. 7 to 18, and 8 to 19. So that's why you get the 11-year difference. Adamar, Shana Rishana Kibesh Nineveh. And in the first year, Nebuchadnezzar conquers Nineveh. Ushnia, in the second year, Kibesh Yehoyakim, he comes and subjugates Yehoyakim. So there's a year difference between when Nebuchadnezzar came to power and the capture or the subjugation of Yehoyakim. So the Gemara continues, V'chein v'shnia. The same is true in Bayit Sheni. So we solved the problem of Bayit Rishon now. Now we want to go back and understand, was it really Motzei Shvi'it in Bayit Sheni? V'shnia v'motzei Shvi'it mi mishkachad lo. How can you ever work out that in Motzei Shvi'it was the time of the Churban Bayit Sheni? Michtei Bayit Sheni kamakam. How long did Bayit Sheni last? Arba meot v'esrim is 420 years. Just a note, Chazal believed that the second Beit HaMikdash stood for 420 years. Secular historians believe that the Bayit stood actually for an additional 166 years, for 586 years. Chazal say 420. The Machloket revolves around the Persian media rule about a number of kings there. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings down the names of three kings, and the Gemara says, Chadahu, that all three of those kings were one king. So instead of assigning them three separate reigns, Chazal bring them all together into a single reign. But they minimize or diminish that period of time of the Persian rule, which leads them to have the Mikdash only stand or extend for 420 years. Again, secular historians have it out for 586 years. There's been a lot written about it. There are many ways to try to deal with why and how to reconcile between the two. Just noting it here, the Gemara is following Seder Olam Rabbo, which is Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafto's reckoning, which is it's 420 years. So Arba Meya, if you take 400 years, Tamne Yovle, 400 years divided by 50 gives you 8 Yovels, 8 series of Yovels. So if I start out from the Bayit, by the time you reach the year 400, you're at the 8th Yovel. Now what's left over is 20 years. Those 20 years, Arba Sare Trei Shavua. Take 14 years, that's 2 cycles of 7. 2 cycles of the Shemitah of 7. Pashalu Shit. Then you have 6 years left over. Havalei B'Shita B'Shavua. So that means that the termination of the Bayit, the 420 years, is in the 6th year of a cycle. And as Rashi points out, then the following year it's destroyed. It only counted full years that it was extant. And the following year where it's destroyed, that was Shvi'it. So according to the Chachamim's reckoning over here, you would end up that the Churban HaBayit Sheni was in the year of the Shvi'it, not on Motzei Shvi'it. Now the reason that we're starting to count the Shemitah and Yovel from the beginning of the Bayit is, because while they were in Galut Bavel, the Shemitah and Yovel cycles were suspended. Because you need Rov Yosheve Aleha. So the start of this count is based on the beginning of the building of the Bayit Sheni. So now that the Bayit Sheni is built and they restarted the camp, we're trying to calculate how to get to Motzei Shvi'it, and we're failing to get there. We only get to a year of a Shvi'it, not to a Motzei Shvi'it. Mar says, no problem. Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi. Who's the author of that Braita? It's based on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's a machloket we're going to see later in the Masechta, which is the year of Yovel. Is Yovel the 50th year? You have 489 years, 7 cycles of 7. And then in the 50th year, you have the Yovel. Then after the Yovel, you begin a new 49-year cycle. Or, Does the Ovel, as Rabbi Yehuda put it, Ovel lekan or lekan, that it goes in both directions? Yes, the Ovel is the 50th year, but it's also the first year of the next cycle. Not only the 50th year of the previous cycle, but it's also the first year, counts towards the first year of the next cycle. So based on that, now we're going to go back and do the calculation based on Rabbi Yehuda. Damar shnat chamishim ola lekan or lekan. Aiti tamnaya mitamnaya yovle. So now we said before, 400 years had included it. If you had 50 year cycles of Yovel, you would have had 8 cycles. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel is also the first year of the next cycle. So that means that you have an additional 8 years now, because his 8 cycles of Yovel actually come out not at 400 years, but rather at 392 years. That means now we have an additional 8 years. We take those additional 8 years, and we had a 6 residual before. We had 14 years, which we said were 2 cycles of Shemitah, and then we had a 6-year residual. If I take that 6-year residual and I add it to the 8 that we just got because of double counting, the Yovel counts both for the termination of the previous cycle and the beginning of the next cycle, then I have another 8. 8 and 6 is 14. That creates another 2 cycles of Shemitah. That means that there were 4 cycles more of Shemitah until the last year that the Mikdash was standing. And then, and therefore, yishtakach to Motzei Shvit Charov, that it was destroyed on Motzei Shvit. 420 years ends at the 28th year of a Shemitah cycle. It means in the 29th year, it was destroyed, which is Motzei Shvit. So that would work out well according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Where it says, I Rabbi Yehuda, b'rishon olam ishkachada. Whoa, you want to do that in order to rectify the problem of Bayit Sheni, now you're going to run into a problem of Bayit Rishon. We already did the calculation in Bayit Rishon to show that was on Motzei Shvi'it. But that all depends on the Shita of the Chachamim, not on Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to show why that's true. Titanio, Shiva Sar Yovlot, Manu Yisrael, Mishnuknusu La'aretz, Vachi Yatsu. The Israel counted 17 Yovel cycles before they were put into Galut. 17 times 50 is 850 years. Now how do you get to this 850 years? Shlomo HaMelech, when he goes to build the Mikdash, it says that he's building the Mikdash 480 years after Yitziat Mitzrayim. We know that the second Beit HaMikdash stood for 410 years. So if I add the 480 to the 410, I get 890 years. 890 years, but that's from Yitziat Mitzrayim. They only enter the land of Israel where they'd have Shemitah Yovel 40 years later. If I take the 890 minus the 40, I get 850 years in which they had cycles of Shemitah and Yovel. Now that would only work. 850, which is divisible by 50, would only work according to the Shita of the Chachamim that the Yovel cycles are actually 50 years and not 49 years. That would make it that over that period of time you had 17 Yovels. So that works according to the Chachamim's position, but Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going to work. Because for Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to subtract out 17 years, which lands you in the middle of a Shemitah cycle. It doesn't land you on Motzei Shemitah. That's what the Gemara is about to say. The Tanya, Shiva Sayyub Lod Manu Yisrael Minishin Lod Arz Vishiyatsu, Viyatayu Cholomar, Vishashin Yichnesu. The Gemara says, well, you can't say it's really from when they entered into the land of Israel, Manu. Shemitah Morkein, Nimtza Bait Charu, B'tzkalat Yovel. That would mean that the Beit HaMikdash was really destroyed on a Motzei Yovel. Not a Motzei Shvit, but a Motzei Yovel. And then, Biyatam would say, then the Nevuah of Yechezkel would not make sense, because Yechezkel said, Barbasir Shanachar Asher Gdair. Said 14 years after the Korban HaBayit is the completion of that Yovel cycle. It wasn't at the time of the Korban. So how does that work out? Ella, we have to say that the count doesn't start from the time they entered into the land of Israel. Ella, say Mehem Sheva Shekibshu V'Sheva Shechukku. There were 14 years in which Yeshua conquered the land and then divided the land up. They don't start counting Shemitah and Yovel until after those 14 years. So I have an offset now of 14 years before we made the calculation of 850 years from the time they entered the land. But if we offset it by 14 years and say it actually count starts 14 years later, that means that the year of the Korban is 836. 836 years after they began to count the Shemitah and Yovel cycles, which is a Motzei Shvit. 800 would be Yovels, 36 would be 35 years, that would end up as a multiple of 7, Shemitah, and it's destroyed in the 836th year after they began counting the Shemitah and Yovel. Add 14 years to that, you get to 850, which is another Yovel, and that's what Yechezkel is speaking about. That all works out according to the Shita of the Chachamim. But, Elzemeyem Sheva Shkriu Shevachu, Vata Motzei 14 Shana Achar Shuktah Yir, Vi Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, 17 Yovels, well, Aiti Shvasre, Mishavasre Yovle, you end up with an extra 17 years from the 17 Yovels. Shari Yahani, if you add that on to this, Havalei B'Tzalat B'Shmuel, you're in the middle of a Shemitah cycle, the third year of a Shemitah cycle doesn't work out. Gemara says, Hani Shane, Daglinu Sancherib, Adaata Yirmiya, Adrino Locha Shoibluhu. So we said before that in order for Yovel to be counted, you need the Rov Yoshve Alel. What the definition again is, say, Machloket and the Rishonim in the Gemara Gutin, where the Rosh Yoshve Alel means you just need a representative from each Shevet to be there, or do you really need the Rov of Bnei Yisrael to be in Eretz Yisrael, Machloket between the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi in Gutin, and also impacts on whether they actually perform the mitzvot of Yovel during the Bayit Sheni, and it might be dependent on this issue. But for our sake over here, Bnei Yisrael, Rashi brings down two pshatim about what this Gemara means. One possibility is that there's a 3-year offset in which 3 years were suspended because they couldn't work the field because of the Assyrian troops that were found in Eretz Yisrael at the time. They couldn't work the fields and therefore they suspended it for 3 years. And then they restarted the count after that 3-year period. Rashi rejects it for numerous reasons. That pshat, he says, no, this is the pshat. Bnei Yisrael are put into Galut during the time or the reign of Chizkiyahu HaMelech in Yehuda. Sanherib puts the northern kingdom into Galut, and then he comes and attacks Yerushalayim. Then he fails in the attack on Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is spared, and only destroyed many years later by Nebuchadnezzar. So it says then that Rabbi Yehuda believes that during that period of time, there was no counting of the Shemitah and Yovel, because the ten Shvatim were put into Galut. The Shvatim are returned by Yirmiyahu, based on a Gemara. Yirmiyahu brought back the 10 Shvatim that were put into Galut. It's actually a Machlok Tanaim, whether he did or didn't. But assuming that he did bring them back, he brings them back in the middle of the reign of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech leads a massive tshuva movement, and in a part of that, a parcel of that tshuva movement, starts to bring a Korban HaPesach, and he consults with the Nevi'ah Chulda. Gemara wants to know, why did he consult with the Nevi'ah Chulda, not the Navi Yirmiyahu, who were both at the same time? Because Gemara says Yirmiyahu wasn't around to consult with him because he was going to bring back the Aseret HaShvatim. So this transpires in the middle of Yoshiyahu's rule. In the 18th year of Yoshiyahu's rule, Yoshiyahu then rules for 31 years. After Yoshiyahu, we have Yoachaz, who rules for a very short period of time. Then we have the 11 years of the rule of Yoachim and Yoyachin. Again, Yoyachin only rules for 3 months, so they're grouped together as 11 years. And we have the 11 of Tzidkiyahu. So if I add 11 of Tzidkiyahu plus the 11 of Yoyachim, Yoyachin, that's 22, plus from year 18 to year 31 of Yoshiyahu, that nets you out with 13 plus 22 is 35 years. That means that the Mikdash stood from the Tshuva movement led by Yoshiyahu when the Aseret HaShvatim were brought back until the Korban, 35 years. The Korban takes place in the 36th year. So the 36th year is a Motzei Shvi'it. But that's because they restarted the Yovel count in the time of Yoshiyahu. They suspended it from the time of Galut, Sancheriv, where he was Goleh, the Aseret HaShvatim, and they only restarted the count when Yirmiyahu brings back the Aseret HaShvatim in the middle of Yoshiyahu's rule. From that period to the destruction of the Mikdash is 36. So that's how we can make it work, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, now you have 36 years, and because of that, you're on a Motzei Shvi'it because of the restarted count. It's according to Rabbi Kitani Bechen Bishnia, when it says that in the second Beit HaMikdash was the same as Sha'aro. It's talking about the other items in the Braita. And it's not talking about all the items of the Braita. If you don't say that, Mishmarto Shehoriya Bishnia Mi'avi. Yoriyav, it says that the Mikdash was destroyed during the Mishmar of the family of the Kohanim of Yoriyav. But Yoriyav doesn't exist in the second Beit HaMikdash. Vatanya, Arba Mishmarot Alu Min HaGolah. Only four Mishmarot came back for the second Bayit. Yudaya, V'charim, Pashkor, V'imar. Amdu Nevi'im Shebneihem, V'chokum Lechav Dalet Mishmarot. They subdivided these four families into 24 Mishmarot, meaning that each family got subdivided into six. Balum Natum Bikalpi, they took the 24 names of Mishmarot, they put them all into the basin. He took out, picked out, turns out that Ruach HaKodesh, he got his own name, plus he got five other names. And then, Ba Harim, he took his name out, as well as five other Mishmarot, to make up six. Each one of them then was subdivided into six to get the 24. But Yehoriav is nowhere to be found. Even if Yoriyav himself would come back after this point in the second bayit, lo yidche Yedaya mimkomo. Yedaya would not be knocked off. If he got the selection of Yoriyav, he would not be removed. Ella Yedaya Ikar, they would be the main mishmar, but Yoriyav tafelo, he would be under him, he would be a sub-nishmar to Yudaya. So it's clear that when it says that what happened in transpiring in the first bayit also transpired in the second bayit, it's not going on everything in that brayta or everything that Rabbi Yossi said. El Ashara, it's going on the other thing. So just like by the mishmarot, it's not everything because the mishmarot weren't the same. So too, by the Motzei Shvit, it was true in the first bayit, but wasn't necessarily true in the second bayit. But on the other items, that it was Motzei Shabbat, that it was the ninth of Av, those things were the same between the first bayit and the second bayit. Okay, we'll stop over here.